Now, therefore, these men saved. Here in verse 4 of chapter 2 of Daniel, "Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever." That, to me, was about the silliest thing they could ever say in the past. And that was the way that they flattered a king. O king, live forever. I'm sure many a king that was sitting now on the throne had a heart condition, and he'd say, "Well, boys, you are wrong. I'm not going to live forever. I'm going to have a heart attack one of these days, and I won't be around." But they seem never to go into that angle of it at all. But here we've come to something that's important. At this juncture in the book of Daniel, there is a change from the Hebrew to the Aramaic language, or the Syriac as it's called here. Now, may I say this to you, from here, from the fourth verse of chapter 2 through the seventh chapter, that is through the 28th verse of the seventh chapter, this particular section is in Aramaic or Syriac. And this is important to note, because that language was the court language, the diplomatic language of the day. That was the language of the Gentiles. That was the language of the world. That would correspond to what French was a few years ago. And today I think the English language has supplanted it. Now, from here on, it will be that through the seventh chapter. So that what we have before us here, friends, is something quite remarkable. God is now speaking to the world, not just to his nation. They've gone into captivity, and they're in Babylonian captivity. They're out there by the canals. God has taken the scepter out of the line of David, and he's now put that scepter, if you please, he's put it in Gentile hands, and it's going to stay there until one of these days he's going to take that scepter back. And when he takes that scepter back, nail-pierced hands will take the scepter, because it's his intention that Jesus is going to reign. Actually, we're talking now about a worldwide kingdom. This idea that the Word of God is confined just to some local deity and that the Bible has quite a limited view, I think is entirely wrong, because if you examine it carefully, you'll find out that God had in mind a worldwide kingdom. He says, verse 27 of Psalm 89 of the covenant God had made with David, and I'm reading now Psalm 89, verse 27, "Also I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth, King of kings and Lord of lords." And then down in verse 34 of Psalm 89, he says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, I'll not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven." God says, if you can go out and the sun has disappeared from the heavens and the moon is not out at night, then he says you'll know that I have changed my mind. But as long as you see those, you'll know I'm going to put my king over this earth. Now, we're talking about that which is global now, and not some local situation. This is the first great world ruler, and now the language here is the language of the world of that day.